And welcome back to the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, alongside Chris Wassel. Get this, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Get it at Full Press NHL, Full Press Hockey on Facebook, Full Press Coverage on Facebook, fullpresshockey.com. It's trade season. It's trade deadline. Don't forget, Full Press Hockey Weekly's special trade deadline show back 1 to 3 Eastern, Friday, March 8th. We'll be back again for you, bringing you all the latest, greatest things. And we got a special guest, my co-host on Around the NHL, presented by Full Press NHL. Bruce Zeman will join us as well to break it all down. So, Chris, we are here. It is trade season. Welcome back, buddy. And, we are here. We're talking about Chris Tanev. He gets things going. Calgary Flames and Craig Conroy. Your thoughts on the trade?
I mean, look, Craig Conroy does it again. He gets assets for a pending unrestricted free agent. Was it the golden first round pick? No. Does he get a nice solid? I mean, shoot, he gets a younger right-handed potential version of Chris Tanev.
He does. Grushnikov is from all indications, is going to be a great player in the National Hockey League. He's tearing it up right now in Texas. And I want to give a shout out to our AHL affiliates down there. Glenn Miller, who does a great job doing that. He's going to be writing something up for Full Press Hockey as well on that. So, look, we're going to find out what this kid is made of. He blocks shots. He's physically moved the puck like Tanev. Tanev does all these things. And you were wondering, right? You think about it. You say to yourself, okay, this guy's never out of the lineup. He gets hurt in the New Jersey game, comes back in. He's a warrior. He's the definition of a warrior. A guy don't get hurt. And you're wondering, why didn't they keep him out? But again, the Flames are still in a playoff race too, right? So you have to say to yourself, okay, well, it makes sense not to hold him out. And you mentioned it. Craig Conroy strikes again. He trades Nikita Zadorov. He trades Elias Lindholm. And now he trades Tanev. Everything he said he's been going out to do, he's doing because why? He does not want to get caught in another Johnny Gaudreau situation.
No, and look, let's be honest. No GM ideally wants to, but the difference between most GMs and Conroy, for better or for worse, no matter what you think of the job he's doing in Calgary, he is setting out and doing what he believes needs to be done. It's
Yeah,
getting
I
done.
agree. I agree. He is getting it done. He wants to get assets. He wants to get players, picks, whatever, to get, his team ready for the future. And what they're doing is what we've stated on the show multiple times on a podcast. They are retooling on the fly like the Winnipeg Jets, right? The Winnipeg Jets have retooled on the fly. They made one big trade, and it changed everything. They move out Pierre-Luc Dubois. They get nice pieces in return. Connor Hellebuyck signs. Mark Scheifele signs. The attitude, everything changes there. And you hear Nazem Kadri say it. We're not a seller. They still believe they can make the playoffs. Maybe they buy. Who knows? Maybe they don't. But there's a belief in that room that the culture is changing. Guys that don't want to be there are not there. Not saying that Chris Tanev didn't want to be there, right? Like Chris Tanev probably still wanted to be a Calgary Flame, but he understands it's a business. We know that Nikita Zadorov didn't want to be there. And we know, well, we don't know. Does Noah Hanifin really want to be there? Because there's an offer on the table. It's been there since October, and he's yet to sign it. And he was this close to signing it. And he's like, nah.
Yeah, pull back. Makes you wonder.
Right. It makes you wonder, does he really want to be in Calgary? Because there are reports that say, oh, he wants to play south of the border. Maybe it's true because he's from the Boston area. Does it make sense for him to go to New Jersey? Does it make sense for him to go to Boston? But like, as I said on WVTK with Bruce Zeman, does it make sense for the Bruins to make that trade unless they can get an extension as part of it? Because that's what they did with Hampus Lindholm. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Boston can't magically generate cap space either. I mean,
No.
there's a lot of parts that have to even you'd have to even fathom. I mean, look, for them even to make a small trade just to acquire a little bit of salary before the trade deadline is going to take quite a bit of Engine gymnastics.
Oh yeah, because they really don't have the assets, they don't have the picks, they really don't even have the prospects to make this happen if they
That's the
wanted
worst
to do
part.
it. They mortgaged everything last year and they lost in the first round, and I think they're very, very hesitant on doing it again. And I think even though they need center help, which they do, but they didn't want to give up assets for Lindholm. They didn't want to give up assets for Monahan. Do they want to make give up the assets for Henrique? Or do they look elsewhere? I mean, to be honest, I'm not sure if they do make any moves.
They may not be able to.
No. They may
Now,
not be able to.
3 o'clock Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock next Friday afternoon may come, and honestly, nothing happens. Not because they
Nothing.
don't try, but just
No.
because you need dance partners to tango with, and Boston's probably going to need at least two partners. The team they want to acquire the player from, and probably another team to shed off a little salary.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And look, Craig Conroy continues to do things. Remember, don't forget, Andre Kuzmenko is playing sick. He's done well in Calgary. That was part of that Lindholm deal. They've picked up draft picks along the way. They got some nice draft picks from the Zadorov trade, and even the Lindholm trade. They get another nice pick. And I think everything on this deal, even though some people and pundits will say it wasn't enough, I think it was the best possible deal because I don't think it was going to get better next week. I think this was the best possible deal. Dallas knew they needed a right shot defenseman. They get a right shot defenseman to solidify their D. And here we are. The Dallas Stars, excuse me, have always been one of the best teams in the Western Conference. They just got better.
Dallas's big concern, and you're starting to see it now, very subtly. Load management. Ooh, I
Hate
know.
that word. I hate that
I know.
word.
I can hear the NBA and MLB people just like cringing, like in their seats right now. But I noticed that last night, most of their forwards aren't playing more than a certain amount of time a night.
No, they're not.
They're not. So, I mean, look, unlike Winnipeg, which Nick Ehlers and Rick Bonus is still the greatest rivalry in Canadian sports, this is a little bit different. Dallas knows that they're in it for the long game, or the long end game, as some could call it. They can't really risk any more injuries. It's bad enough Sagan is week to week already.
It's bad enough Ryan Suter's playing on your second D pair.
Yeah, it's not so good either.
No. And I mean, look, early projections have those two paired together. I wouldn't do it,
It's
but
temporary.
it's temporary. I think maybe they add another defenseman, maybe left shot guy for some depth.
I'm believe if I if I be, if I believe this right, I believe I hate trying to pronounce his name, Lundqvist.
Yes.
Because it's not Lundqvist.
Lundqvist.
Yeah, I know. Key point in Swedish lore. Is due back any time now. It's the concussion protocols and such, and
So
obviously
that'll solve
that'll
your
solve
problem
that.
there.
They might pair TANF with even maybe Hakanpaa, maybe.
I mean, you could do that, or you maybe Lynn Esa Lindell, you could do that as
You have
well.
options. I mean,
They do have options. Now, again, it's Pete DeBoer, and you know how we feel in this program about Pete
yeah. You know,
DeBoer.
you never quite know until you see it.
But look, Calgary, they've got Tanev out. Does Hanifin follow? What about Jacob Markstrom? Look, Markstrom is a player that they don't have to move. The Devils are the only team in the goaltending market right now. Legitimately, the only team. Carolina's found success with Peter Kochetkov. You have Raanta, you have Anderson coming back. Spencer Martin will go back on waivers. If they get something for them, great. LA, do they really need a goalie? And if they do, it's not going to be Saros. It's not going to be Marc-Andre Fleury. Neither guy is going because Nashville is doing what Nashville always does this time of year.
They win
Saros
just
gets.
enough.
They win just enough to stay in the race, and they have own rentals. Now, quote unquote own rental because Soros, like Markstrom, still has term left on his deal. So they don't, Nashville doesn't really have to move him either for the right, they need to do it for the right price.
Right. And the thing to consider, Soros, a little more than 4 years younger than Markstrom, on a very friendly 2 year deal that's only paying him, what, $5 million a
Right.
year?
And Calgary and Markstrom's got 2 years after this one at six, hence why the Devils needed retention help. And it goes back to what we stated on the program all the time, is the Devils have needed retention help since Dougie Hamilton got hurt because we weren't sure if he was coming back, not coming back. Is he coming back for the playoffs? If they make the playoffs, does he come back beforehand? So this is why they need retention help. And Nick, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. The Devils are part of that Flames deal where they eat half of Tanev's salary. So could there something be in the works as well?
We don't know. Makes it fun.
Makes it fun. I mean, look, everybody says it's illegal. You can't do it. It's the National Hockey League.
Come on, Tampa made an art form out of this. It was
Right,
like the
exactly. Back
it was like the
behind
half
the
of,
back deals
what was it, the
always
one
happen.
year it was the half of a half of a half of a half deal where it was like
Yeah.
four teams and you're just sitting there like, wait. And legitimately, you'd have to get like a pad, start writing. It's like, carry the one. And I think Tampa ended up like $12,000 or $13,000 under the cap or something at 5:01 that day. Like
Yeah,
if it was done at four, if the paperwork had been processed at 4:59, they would have been over the cap.
right, exactly. But they got it done to where the cap didn't play a factor, but anything is possible if you have the right people in place. Again, it comes down to, does New Jersey want to make the splash? Because I don't know if LA needs a goalie. And if they do, I'm not sure Markstrom's the guy. I think they're going to try to shore up some other places, especially if Adrian Kempe is out long term. Victor Arvidsson's supposed to be back, but they need help up front and scoring. So
Oh,
Arvidsson's probably
good.
not coming back. So if you have two guys on LTIR, then they're going to have to look for scoring because they need the help up front. So that takes them out of the goalie market. Colorado really just needs a backup. Do they get Jake Allen? Do they get Jake Allen? Do they get somebody else? Maybe they do. And so it really is New Jersey and Calgary trying to figure
Man.
out, can they get this retention worked out over and the price of retention? And for people that don't understand, there's a little chart that these general managers have about what it costs for to retain. So up to X amount, it's this much. For another amount, it's that. So I think we know what the basis of the trade is. It's a first round pick, Alexander Holtz, and it's maybe and retention. We know that's what the deal is. And throw a
Yeah.
couple of pieces in here and there to balance out money.
Maybe a conditional,
Yeah,
maybe another
conditional,
player.
right.
Man.
Maybe something goes back from Calgary, but that's the basis of that deal. Like we know in what Nashville was offering, they wanted to, Nashville's like, all right, we'll give you Soros, Carrier, retain 50% on Carrier. If you give us Dawson Mercer, Kira Schmid, Seamus Casey, a first round pick, and a second round pick. But Devil said no because Dawson Mercer is apparently an untouchable. So if that's the case, what are you really giving up? And I know a lot of people, you look at the Devil fans and they say, oh, well, we shouldn't give up on Holtz. Well, maybe should. And we're not going to dive deep into it because we did it last episode. But sometimes you have to give up something to get something. And if it doesn't work out in the next 8 days, well, that's okay because you have the summer to do it. And you have to do it this summer unless you do it within the next 8 days. Because you didn't do it last summer, now you have to fix it.
Yeah, this is look, this is something where we've talked about it many times, and it goes with scheme and strategy and everything else. And it's not just with the Devils, it's other teams too that have that are in the same kind of limbo. If you look at Pittsburgh, for example, Pittsburgh's kind of in the same limbo, except they have a much older team and don't have the same window. So you would think they would have even more urgency. And yet they might get stuck even worse than New Jersey. because they don't have quite the pieces to move. And the one piece that you could move is out till mid-March,
Right.
which.
And would you want to move them? Like, I understand both sides of the coin, but who are you replacing Jake Getzel with?
You can't replace him,
Well,
at
and
least,
this was the
especially in
argument I
Pittsburgh.
heard. But this is the same argument we heard when Ron Hextall and Brian Burke were still running the ship in Pittsburgh. Well, you have to bring back Malkin. You can't re you there's no way to replace those guys. You could have found somebody
For
on the
Malkin?
open market for Malkin to
Yeah.
replace his production. You could have done it.
Yeah, there's a difference between Guy in his mid to late 30s, Malkin, who, let's
And Jake
face it,
Getzel.
yeah, and Jake Guentzel, who is on his way up. Just saying.
You heard it the same way I've heard it. Last year, Tristan Jarry was supposed to be out, 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 and then he signs a deal. I will not believe Jake Getzel is out the door until he's out the door. As much as Vancouver's involved, as much as this team's involved, nobody has the cap space to pick up Jake Getzel. And I don't think the Pittsburgh Penguins want to trade Jake Getzel because they don't, and as much as they need assets and they need stuff in the cupboard, until Sidney Crosby retires, and I know what Sid said in the media, you don't think Kyle Dubas is going to Sidney Crosby and saying, look, we're thinking about moving Getzel. What do you think? He's going to say no.
100% true. Has the conversation happened?
Yes.
We all know it has. Whether anybody wants to admit it or not is a different story, but this conversation has happened. And it's obvious.
Because if it didn't happen, why is Jake Getzel still on the team?
Exactly.
And I think Getzel, they'll get him re-signed. I think he's going to sign an extension. This feels like the Kreider situation. Remember when Chris Kreider signed his deal? He was supposed to be traded, all of this speculation, and then the day of the trade deadline, he signed an extension.
Yep.
I feel like we're heading down that path with Jake Getzel or Elias Pettersson in Vancouver because, we know with Pettersson at the beginning of the season, Pettersson's like, oh yeah, I don't want to focus on my contract. I just want to play hockey and all this stuff. And everybody in Vancouver freaked out. And as he continued to say that, and there were no progress in contract talks because he didn't want to have him, or he just let his agent do everything. The trade speculation started. Oh, well, they're going to move Pettersson. They were never trading Elias Pettersson. All this fantasy booking, all this stuff people putting out there, where could he go? He wasn't leaving Vancouver. Vancouver wasn't even on anybody's board. I'm like, he's not leaving Vancouver. And here we go. We find out with our buddy down in South Jersey, outside of Philly, our buddy Frank Saravalli puts it out. Now we all kind of figure it'd be an 8-year deal. I think it comes in around 96 million. I do believe it's like 8 times 12. I kind of believe that's the number that they're looking at because that's the player. And you can see there's the he's getting distracted a little bit, but I'm not surprised that all of a sudden this stuff picked up. And it's because it was the William Nylander situation in Toronto. Let Willie just play and then he'll be fine. Same with Pettersson, and he'll sign the dotted line. It'll be a Canuck for life.
That's it. Wow, imagine that simple.
It is that simple. And look, Vancouver's done a lot. I know they've struggled right now. I think everybody goes through ups and downs of a season. We all get it. We all see it. And you're going to have the speculation, oh, Connor's going to leave Edmonton. Leon's going to leave Edmonton. Those guys aren't leaving.
Yeah, I mean, look,
Maybe I
sure.
give 50-50 for Draisaitl. McDavid's an Oiler.
McDavid's an Oiler for life. And of course, they finally gave up less than 3 goals last night.
And
And
they
Connor
won.
McDavid finally scored for the first time a goal in 10 games.
It's not like he wasn't putting up points.
Oh no, he had like 21 assists in nine
Right.
games.
I know, it's
But
ridiculous.
and we joke about this on the show, but hey, fantasy hockey boy, start scoring. I don't
Right.
put, I don't, I, you're, I didn't draft you number. I said this to somebody and they're like, well, you cover, media, this, that, and whatever. And I'm like, Yeah, but this sucker's on my $250 fantasy league. I mean, I got money on this. I mean, you need to put the piece.
Puck and he needs to score some goals here, bud. He
I mean,
needs to
we
score
joke
some
about it,
goals. Right, we joke about it.
but it was kind of funny last night, and I heard this from a lot of people. It's 2-2 after 25 minutes, and then all of a sudden, Edmonton starts to play better defensively again.
Yeah.
Like
And
somebody's.
Zach Hyman
Someone
has
said
40
something on the
goals.
bench. You could actually see it when you're watching the, like in my case, I was watching the ESPN Plus feed. You
Yeah.
could see visibly the coaching staff just roll their eyes like, uh-uh. And they did seem to respond. So, I mean, are they going to go on some kind of crazy streak again where they play defensively well?
No.
No,
16 games, but they're gonna play better than they were.
but they're going to play better than they were. It was clear that definitely players were pressing, especially McDavid, as far as
Right.
scoring a goal and scoring what 22, 23 seconds left in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's
That's a
I think
pretty.
that'll get him going. I think he'll get him going. I mean, he's doing
Not
21
that
assists.
it's crazy, right?
He's got 21
We're
assists
talking.
in 9 games, but he had no goals. I mean, it's ridiculous.
21 assists, 14, I think 14 primary points or something like that. I mean, it's kind of funny and absurd to get on a guy for not scoring a goal when they have Connor Brown on the team who hasn't scored all year.
Wasn't that his boy?
That's another one that didn't quite work out. But on the bright side for them, Zach Hyman did get to 40 goals.
40 goals. I mean, look, I know they're in the sweepstakes for Jake Gensel, but they kind of don't need him. We talk about the Devils in the goalie market. Could Edmonton be a player in the Tyler Toffoli thing if the Devils decide to sell? I think even if things play out, I don't even think they're gonna sell Toffoli. I think they would try to extend him too because I think they like him too much on this team, and I think he's found a really good role on the Devils. Do they have other pieces they can move? Sure. But I don't know if they even do that. They could just stand pat. I mean, it really could. Like a lot of teams could, like Toronto could, Boston could. I just don't think Toronto wants to give up a first round draft pick for a player that's a rental. And if they do give it up, I think it's going to be for a player with term. You mentioned Pittsburgh. Vegas has money to spend. We know Mark Stone, LTIR, Jack Eichel's coming off or is off. I think Riley Smith goes back to Vegas. I really do. I just have this gut feeling that they're gonna find a way to make that one work. I
Yeah,
just don't see Florida in that. I know Florida they could use him too, but I think Smith to Vegas just makes too much sense.
it depends on who you talk to if that trade is even legally feasible. Because
Right.
I do believe Smith was on a res he might have been on the reserve list, which may keep him from being dealt back to Vegas.
Right, so you would have to wait a full
Technically,
calendar
a
year.
full calendar year. So that's something that I've heard that could be enforced. I've heard from some people that no, that's not necessary. So it's like, you know what? At that point, I just kindly put my hand up, like in school, and go, all right, we'll just wait.
Well,
Because
just wait then.
we'll just wait.
Well, it's like because it's like with Tarasenko in Ottawa because they have pieces. Oh, and I've been on this case since probably December, maybe earlier, when Ottawa started to fall out. I'm like, well, we can move. They can move Tarasenko. I'm seeing more and more reports coming out that he's probably going to get moved. And I always link them back to the Rangers if they decided to make a move. And somebody's like, well, technically, Ottawa can't retain. Well, they could if they get another team involved.
Yeah, there's always the third team.
They could get a third team involved. If he decides to go to the Rangers, like
Yeah.
again, could he get traded there? Sure. Could he go to Carolina? Maybe. I think they could use his help too. Does he stay? Who knows? Maybe he stays. I don't know. Could Detroit add him? I mean, Detroit, look what Detroit's doing, right? You add Patrick Kane. Yeah, he was probably still not 100% right. Gets hurt, then comes back, and now he's the Patty Kane of old, right? This guy looks phenomenal. The send off in Chicago the other night. Five standing ovations. Haven't heard a reaction like that since Guy Lafleur at the old Forum. Eddie Jochman in New York. I mean, this dude comes in, gets the video tribute, Chris Chelios night, and scores a game-winning goal like he's still wearing a Chicago Blackhawks uniform. I mean, that's a great pickup by Steve Yzerman. Now we'll see what else they do because I think Detroit is actually going to make the playoffs this year, and Motown's going to be Motown again.
Yeah, for those wondering, I mean, look, for what it's worth, don't ever look at plus minus and Patrick Kane in the same
No,
sentence
he don't play
ever,
D. He don't play D.
or defense for that matter, because
No.
those numbers aren't pretty. But
No.
on the bright side, I mean, look, he technically, I guess if you want to call a gem, he is sort of playing a more defensive role in Detroit in a way,
In a
only to.
way, I mean, like Madonna in Dallas, right?
Kind of like that because of his deployment.
Right.
Like right now, offensive zone shifts or starts, he's at like dead even 50%, which I don't
Right.
think he's been at that number in his career in quite a while.
No, I think early Chicago days, right?
Yeah. So right now, he's on a 9-game point streak, basically since he came back.
Right. And he's
He's up
playing
to
well.
30. He's up to 30 points in 28 games. To me, he looks better in this 9-game stretch than he did in the first 19.
I think so. I think he looks 100% healthy. And I think that was the key for him. I think he finally got 100% healthy. His hip looks good. This was always a tryout year for him, right? With Detroit. Like, look, there were reports that he wanted a multiple year deal. I think most teams are just going to give him 1 year deal, see what it's like. Yeah, Rangers fans are like, oh, where was this last year? We all knew he was hurt last year. And we all knew your GM didn't want to trade for him, but he forced his way to New York because he wanted to be there. And now he's playing in Detroit. He's playing with his running buddy, DeBrincat. So he's all happy. I know a lot of suitors are going to come for him in the summer. We know Steve Yzerman doesn't like to give out these multi-year deals to these aging players. I think he makes an exception because of the way Kane's playing this year.
He almost has to at this point.
Right?
Because it for people that haven't looked at this part of the equation, just consider DeBrincat for a second, who now, of course, over the last 3 games in particular, DeBrincat has 4 goals. He went through this long stretch where he really didn't score that much.
Right.
I mean, this was a pretty brutal struggle even for him. I think over 20 games, Jim, I think he had like 2 goals.
That's crazy.
Two goals. And they play St. Louis, they play in Chicago. And magically, DeBrincat looks like himself.
Yeah, of course,
On
playing against
TV.
teams he likes to play against, and he used to play for Chicago. So,
Right.
hey, why not?
So, again, it's one of those things. Scoring chances are there, the shots are there, yada yada yada. The bottom line is they're producing. Detroit is winning almost in spite of themselves in some ways because Ville Husso is still out in. Look, all right. So Husso was out before Christmas.
Right.
Missed almost 2 months. Played not even one game. Injured again.
Still out.
And
Lion King comes in.
it kind of look, is Alex Lyon the younger version of late season Brian Elliott?
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, considering this is the second time he's doing. I mean, Brian Elliott did this at least, what, 2 or 3 times in St. Louis, where magically he got them into the playoffs
Right.
after performing what could be best described as dog dirt.
Right.
And Lyon kind of is, I don't want to say like that in a way, but the numbers kind of say yes.
Yeah, because he did
Played
it for
not so great
Florida.
early. And then all of a sudden, come like January, February, or even March, it's like,
Where was this?
who, what, where,
Yeah.
and what happens?
And he did it for Florida last year. Before Bobrovsky took over, now he's doing it in Detroit. So Detroit's one of those teams we figured coming into the season with Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa. Detroit's taking the reins, and it could be five teams from the Atlantic because Tampa's still kicking around, even though they had a bad loss to Philadelphia, who are still kicking around third place in the Metro Division, which is very, very surprising. But again, as I've said multiple times about Tampa Bay, their defense isn't what it used to be. Andre Vasilevskiy is still coming back from this back injury, and he's still not 100%. Their defensive zone ability has to be better. When they do play defense, they look great. When they don't, they get lit up. No, Mikhail Sergachev doesn't help. Do they get Hanifin? Maybe. Do they add somebody
Need
else?
someone.
Yeah, I mean,
If
they could
you look
definitely.
at them, I mean, Cernak either can't stay healthy from
Right.
illness or minor injuries because he's taking a beating. He's taking
Right.
more of a beating because he's playing more.
Right.
I mean, you look at the core of that defense and just, yeah, you kind of have to be a little bit scared because you're not getting that vintage, Vasilevskiy bailout that
No.
they're very used to getting. And look, does it hurt? Does it hurt that Philly turned out the lights on them?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Look, no Fleury, no Sergachev. Cernak's been in and out. I mean,
And yet they're still in the playoff mix. Like,
it's like
legitimately,
Jason
they're
Worthy.
still there. They're still there. And the Kucherov's put this team on his back. They're still there. I mean, and you said Philly, right? Philly's got Sean Walker and Nick Seeler, and Jamie Drysdale's hurt again. And does that change what they're supposed to do? I still think they should still trade Walker just because you could get something for him. Stick with the plan because don't alter it just because you're in the playoff spot. But we know what these GMs do. We'll see what they do. And then there's the Rangers, right? And, look, Pat Verbeek was in MSG. There was a lot of chatter about potentially Vetrano and Henrique staying in New York. It didn't happen. Is that something they're going to revisit? Maybe. But, there's a reason why Capo Caco was on the first line against Columbus. Not
It was
just the fact that he was
really good.
rewarded, not just because he was rewarded for his good play on that third line, but Verbeek wanted to see him because I think he was going to be part of that trade.
Yeah, there's always some. Look, teams are always going to showcase certain players this time of year, and Capo Caco is one of them.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. I mean,
No.
look, it's not a secret that the guy has the motivation sometimes of Swiss cheese.
He does. No, it's true.
You could say this. You can't say the same about Lafreniere anymore.
No,
To be
he's
honest,
playing
you never
really.
really could. Let's just
No, but
call
you
for
look at
what it is.
Lafreniere and you look at Byfield and you're saying, okay, these are the guys they're supposed to be because they're finally playing the way they're supposed to be playing, and it just took them some time to do it. Lafreniere just for
Took a
forever
little
just couldn't
longer.
score. Couldn't score. Like the Duke just couldn't score. But Kako on that third line with Cooley and Brzezinski, they were playing really well together. Now you're going to see what the Rangers do. They have a lot more depth now. I mean, look, Matt Rempe. I mean, look, this story was great. The Stadium Series comes in, rookie lap, gets the fight, takes on Nick DeLaurier, does what he does in the New Jersey game. Then he fights Matthew Olivier, gets his butt whooped, but he should have never been playing in the rest of that game anyway because he got a concussion.
Oops.
Oops. Yeah, our bad. Whoopsie.
Don't you hate when that happens? It's like, oh, darn. But that's the game right now.
It
It
is.
really is.
I mean, look, the Rangers are still kicking around, Carolina. I mean,
First in the division,
the rest of the
despite
division
everything.
is like here. Like everybody's teetering, right? Washington, New Jersey, the Islanders, Pittsburgh, they're like all right there. I mean, the Islanders, I think big changes are coming in the offseason. They don't make the playoffs. I think lose time in New York. And I'm not the first one to say this.
Been
Lose
done.
time in it. It's been done, and I think it might be done if they don't make the playoffs. And if it
Absolutely.
they and if the, if it's not this summer, then it's sometime next year because I think you need a GM change there. But look, and then Washington, what are they going to do? They're going to have own rentals? Are they just going to try to retool on the fly like they did last year? They're still kind of in the mix because, well, New Jersey kept them around too.
Well, Washington is like the ultimate. Well, either we win
Or we
or we
get
get
blown out.
blown out to bacon bits.
Right, they do.
Wow.
And that's what makes the losses to New Jersey so frustrating if you're a fan, is because you see what New Jersey can do. And when they blow out teams, they blow out teams. And when Washington gets blown out, it's like they lose to fast, speedy teams. But for some reason, New Jersey can't just beat the Capitals.
Psychological mental block much?
I think so.
Certain teams just have this against other teams. I mean, you look, Devils can't beat Boston.
No.
Devils can't beat Washington.
Nope.
The Devils can't beat the Rangers in Newark.
No. They couldn't beat, they can't beat Nashville in Nashville. I mean, they finally got their win,
They
but
finally
still.
figured that one out. And then there's, other teams that when they play, look, Tampa just at times can't beat Philly.
New Jersey
Tampa,
can't beat Tampa to save
New
their
Jersey.
life.
You look at like Vegas at home.
Pretty good.
Pretty good normally, but that's even slipped lately. I mean,
I mean
look
it.
at Boston. Here we go. Here's the one that'll blow people's minds. And we don't know if it'll continue tonight. Boston has gone to overtime in six straight games.
That's incredible. Weren't they
That
coming off
one.
a road trip, though? Aren't they coming off a road trip?
True, but still, six straight. And they blew a couple leads and they came back a couple times. I mean, the other mind-blowing stat, real fast,
Yeah.
the Islanders' last 23 games, 311
Yeah.
and 9.
Not good. Not good.
I said this from the beginning. There were one team that more than likely was going to just miss their way right out of the playoffs.
Yep. I think so. I think they're gonna miss the playoffs. I really do think they're gonna miss the play because they can't score. It's been their
Yep.
problem since the beginning of the season, where everybody said in the offseason, us included, they need to get scoring help. Yes, Horvat and Barzal are playing fine. They're playing great. They just don't have enough scoring.
Yeah, look
But
at the
their
Devils.
problem is their defense isn't that good either.
No, the only reason why their defense somewhat held up at first was because of Sorokin, and now Sorokin cracked.
Right. And because he's working too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
Because
a
you
secret.
signed Varlamov to a 4-year to Varlamov to a 4-year extension,
You get
and he's
hurt.
an older goalie.
So you look at it. There are three teams in that division below New Jersey that legitimately can't score.
No.
And Washington may be the worst because, again, like we said, they have this like rinse cycle repeat thing where they either get blown out or they
Or,
blow teams out.
right, exactly.
But they don't, it's funny, they don't blow teams out by as much as they get blown out. So the differential looks even worse. 153 goals for Washington on the season.
Unreal.
Pittsburgh and the Islanders are right around 170. How crazy is that? A Sidney Crosby-led team. By the way, Crosby, who is having a rather good season, to say the
He
least.
is. He is.
And it's going I won't say it's going completely unnoticed,
But it
but
is.
it's going unnoticed by a
I think
lot
it
of
would be, I think if they were in the playoff picture, it would be talked about more.
By the way, all Senior Crosby has done over the last two games is have 6 points in two amazingly divergent wins.
Yeah. Which, and again, after the fact that was when Kyle Dubas, about a week ago now, said, we want to get younger. We're not sure what we're going to do. I want to be patient with this group, and this team has just gone out and win hockey games. And they still have games in hand. So there's a
They're not
potential they
dead
could
yet
do
either.
stuff. They're not dead yet, but again, you have Tristan Jarry between the pipes. He's Jekyll and Hyde too.
Right.
So.
And I think he almost the second half of the Metro Division real fast, Jim. Best way to describe it? Consistently inconsistent.
Absolutely, they are. New Jersey, Pittsburgh, Washington, the Islanders, all consistently inconsistent. And then at the top of the division, they've been pretty much consistent. Carolina, the Rangers, and Philadelphia. And look, there's a lot of going to be a lot of trade talk between now, March 8th. What's going to happen? If there's going to be a lot to happen, who knows? Full Press Hockey will be there for you the whole way. We're going to try to get another episode of the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show out before Our trade deadline special on March 8th, 1 to 3 o'clock. But this has been the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show. Jim Berenger, Chris Wassel. Get it iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Up at Full Press NHL. Full Press coverage on Facebook. Full Press coverage on YouTube. Full Press Hockey on Facebook as well. Guys, it's trade season. Enjoy it. Keep your eyes tuned to fullpresshockey.com. Take care.